The radio program is Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson, and I'm a father, and I've got five children. So does Dave. He's got five kids, too. He's in the studio with me here in Elbert County, Colorado, trying to salvage faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century. Care about these values? Yes, we do. And these values dissipating, my friends. We're losing the faith. We're losing the family. We're losing freedoms in the 21st century, and hardly anybody cares. But we do. We like faith, family, and freedom. Want to salvage them for our children and our grandchildren. Meantime, Dave, apparently freedom is still somewhat of a popular concept. Today's July 4th. Everybody's celebrating Independence Day. Celebrate your freedoms, is what a little sign said at my bank. You know, it said, celebrate freedoms. July 4th, the great day to celebrate your freedom. And I got to thinking, what do you mean by freedom? Who cares about freedom? And how do you define it? Oh, you mean celebrate the fact that we can't bear guns anymore in Denver or San Francisco? Celebrate the fact that 60 million babies don't get the right to life since 1973? Shall we celebrate the freedom for life for 60 million dead babies since 1973? Shall we celebrate the fact that you'll be arrested if you hand out a Bible in Colorado Springs, a la SB 200 in Colorado? Should we celebrate the fact that governments confiscate 50% of our income, up from 10% in 1913, and celebrate all 120,000 pages of the Federal Register? Dave, time to celebrate our freedoms. Do we celebrate property taxation, inheritance taxation, sales taxation, income taxation, value tax, capital gains tax, or are we, what are we celebrating? What are we celebrating? Celebrating the freedom? You know, the bank told me that July 4th is the day to celebrate our freedoms. Okay, that's the little sticker said by the teller at the bank. And so I'm trying to celebrate freedoms here. So what do we mean? Do we celebrate the freedom to fornicate? Is the average guy showing up at the bank, he says, freedom. Wow, I'm going to celebrate freedom this July 4th, the freedom to get drunk, the freedom to fornicate, the freedom to get government handouts for me. So what do they mean, Dave? What do they mean, freedom?
They mean the freedom to have your land taken by eminent domain, perhaps the freedom to celebrate with state-approved fireworks, not the ones that aren't approved.
Oh, my son made that point. He says, Dad, he says, celebrate freedom? What are you talking about? We can't even have firecrackers. I have little sparklers, that's all we get. He says, that's not freedom. I'm not going to celebrate freedom, Dad. So my son said,
you get sparklers?
No, he's not going to celebrate freedom. He says the sparklers aren't enough. He wants the firecracker, the stuff you used to have. Fireworks, remember? Fireworks?
He wants bombs bursting in red air.
In air, yeah. The bombs bursting in air. Sure, absolutely. You know, Star Spangled Banner stuff.
Well, I understand that. He wants to do a little history lesson right here in Elbert County.
All right. Trying to celebrate freedom on Independence Day, my friends. We're having a hard time defining it. What is freedom? Well, ladies and gentlemen, freedom is what is supplied by the law of God. Either you'll be governed by God or by God you'll be governed. Either you'll live your life by the laws of Jesus, either you'll be self-disciplined, self-governed, a moral people, or you will be tyrannized. You will not be free. And Dave, I think that's pretty much what's happened.
Well, to use the Bible, we like to use the Bible on this program. It's part of our biblical worldview.
Sure.
Actually use the Bible.
Sure.
The psalmist says, I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. That's God's precepts.
Oh.
In other words, I seek God's law, therefore I'll get liberty.
All right, so liberty if we keep the Ten Commandments, if we walk in God's ways, if we begin to live lives where families are built on strong moral structures, we don't have a 95% fornication rate, we don't have a 50% divorce rate in this country, we don't have a huge problem with drunkenness and drug addiction, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, well, in that case, yeah, Dave, we might actually start living a life of freedom. If the Son will make you free, you will be free indeed.
Absolutely. You know, the prophet Jeremiah talks about how freedom is lost. And this is really instructive, Kevin. In Jeremiah chapter 34, it says, then you turned around and profaned my name. That is, they blasphemed God. Something that happens in the theaters and on the streets in Denver,
sure,
in Colorado Springs, and even in Elbert pretty regularly. They,
sure,
profane God's name.
Turn on your radio, turn on your television, you'll hear it all the time. They're taking God's name in vain right and left. It happens all the time, sure.
And this is what happens. And every one of you brought back your male and female slaves, whom he had set, that's God had set at liberty for their pleasure, and brought them back into subjection to be your male and female slaves. Therefore, says the Lord, you have not obeyed me, in proclaiming liberty, everyone to his brother and everyone to his neighbor, behold, I'm going to bring a curse against you. Yeah. All this because they didn't do something very simple. They didn't honor the name of God who gave them liberty. And when they no longer honored the God and his name that gave them liberty, God took it away.
Ladies and gentlemen, celebrating the fact that you can be arrested for handing out Bibles in Colorado Springs. Celebrating the fact that government confiscates 50% of our income and you cannot bear arms in the city of Denver. Celebrating our freedoms today on July 4th. We're loving it. And yeah, Dave, let's balance it out a little bit. By God's grace, we still have a few freedoms. And I think we ought to express some gratitude for the fact that God has held off his judgment for quite some time, despite the fact we are one of the most immoral people on the face of the earth. We have the weakest families in the Western world, per a Rutgers University study. Despite the fact, yeah, we have been very, very bad, God yet still retains some degree of freedom and liberty in this country. And the Supreme Court upheld the Second Amendment. I mean, that's good news. That is good news. You can celebrate that. That's something to celebrate. The Supreme Court of the United States upheld the Second Amendment. It wasn't a broad brush, but there were some freedoms upheld there. We have the right to own and carry guns and at least defend our homes. I think that was what was established by the Supreme Court ruling. We have the right to defend our homes in the United States of America by owning and bearing an arm.
What's more is God always gave you that duty. You had the duty to protect the people in your home. You had a duty. And the Supreme Court said, okay, you have a duty given by God, so you might as well have the right.
Yeah, they threw in the right. Nehemiah 4:14, you refer to. Also, Jesus said, go get a sword. Go get a sword. Defend yourselves. To his apostles on his parting from them. And so we have, you know, examples in the scriptures of how important it is to defend ourselves and defend our families. So that's good news. And also in Germany, you know, our homeschool families out in Germany who are being arrested and sentenced to prison terms for homeschooling their children in that country. Some of them have escaped to Austria and Canada because they have been so badly persecuted in Germany. And I don't know of any homeschoolers who have been arrested and thrown in prison for homeschooling their children recently in America. And that's good.
That is good. That is good. We still have a right in America to disciple our children. That is to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to build God's kingdom through the generations. We should praise God and thank him for that.
And we broadcast here this radio program, which, you know, some would consider to be politically offensive, politically incorrect. And so far, so good. We're not broadcasting from a prison cell.
So far.
Yeah, so far. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, we want to talk about the undoing of America. Whatever happened to America? Be back in a moment. My name's Kevin Swanson. I'm an American.
With literacy rates falling and American schools approaching third world nation status in math and science, parents everywhere are concerned. And they're getting involved. That's why tens of thousands of families across the state of Colorado have turned to home education. For over 20 years, Christian Home Educators of Colorado has hosted an annual conference designed to encourage and inspire families anywhere along the path, from beginners to veteran homeschoolers. Throughout the year, they offer special introductory seminars, retreats, graduations, a news magazine, and a satellite school to aid in the required record keeping. CHECK also offers a bookstore complete with the best resources, tapes, and curriculum, all of which has been carefully chosen to equip and supplement your homeschool program. To learn more about CHECK, visit their website at chec.org. Also, be sure to check out their bookstore on the south side of Denver on Parker Road.
Folks, back on Generations, it's Independence Day, celebrating freedom today on the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, and boy, I think the history of America is very beautifully synopsized by Benjamin Franklin, who said, either you'll be governed by God or by God you'll be governed. That is, either you'll be governed ethically by God's law, either you will live your lives by the morality established by the commandments of God, or you will be governed. You will be tyrannized. God will send you some of the worst tyrants tyranny you have ever seen. It will be so bad that you won't even know you are being tyrannized while you are being tyrannized. And that is precisely what has been happening, folks. We are seeing a tremendous decline of morality in this nation. We are seeing the family come apart like you would not believe just over the last 40 to 50 years. At the same time, government tyranny is growing exponentially. Government was taking about 10% of our income back in 1913. Now it's close to 50%. And Dave, I think it's going to be 60, 75% in just the next couple of decades. It's got to rise. We've already spent most of our children's inheritance and our grandchildren's inheritance by means of the federal debts and our own debt. And I think we're going to see government continue to grow in its expenditures and its involvement in our lives.
Well, I think it'll grow right to the point that it collapses. Invasion is imminent. I'm just telling you, America, I know we have a really strong army, and we think we're invincible, but God has taken down invincible armies in the past, armies that wouldn't honor him, that wouldn't glorify his name. Those who would give God the finger, God has taken down. And we have a state now, a government, that seems intent on building a great big Washington Monument middle finger to God.
Reporting from the ashes of a once free society, my friends, a society that once claimed God as their God, a society that once had a strong economy, that once defended certain freedoms and understood that there was a moral standard for life. But here we are reporting from a society that has broken down in its faith, its family, and its freedoms. And folks, the undoing of America began very close to the beginning of America because of its theological and philosophical shifts. And that occurred very early in this nation's history. Dave, our nation began somewhere around 1776 as a nation. Obviously, there were colonies well before that, and those colonies were God-fearing colonies that were established upon the principles of God's Word. No question in my mind whatsoever about that. But by the time you get into the late 1700s and early 1800s, you have the theological and philosophical undoings of this nation. In the 1790s and early 1800s, European rationalism took over the universities. And yes, it was the universities that were the undoing of this nation. Typically, folks, it is a secular form of education, a Greek form of education, in content and form, that is always the undoing of free and Christian nations. And that was the case for this nation as well. Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth, most of the universities were going towards a European rationalism in the early part of the 1800s. Jacobean clubs were formed on these campuses. Tom Paine societies, which were effectively deistic or humanistic or transcendentalistic societies, were formed in these nations. And of course, right away, Dave, you have deism. That is, deism was an idea that God is not connected to his world. He established the world, he wound it up, and then we've got to kind of figure out how to run it. God's not ethically involved in this world. He doesn't care what we do. We just kind of got to make the best of it. And you know, we just kind of make it work, and we establish our own ethics, our own way of living, et cetera, with God very much disconnected from his world. So deism eventually gave birth to transcendentalism, and transcendentalism taught that man's reason is the incarnation of the universal mind. And Emerson, of course, and Thoreau, some of the most important transcendentalists of the early part of the 1800s, Emerson said, "I am part of the universal, I am part and parcel of God." And Dave, this is of course sort of that New Agey idea, that pantheistic idea that man is God. And that transition from deism to transcendentalism effectively moved from man being apart from God, different from God. Transcendentalism claimed that man was God. And boy, that's dangerous. When man claims deity, eventually, of course, he's going to deify the state, and that's the beginning of tyranny. That's exactly the direction that this nation set from its philosophical beginnings in the 1830s and 1840s.
Well, and that, of course, is the first sin of Adam. He wanted to be as God. That was the advertisement program. You would be as God. And so it's the heart of man that desires to be God or to be like God that gives birth to all sin, whether that be stealing or thievery or tyranny or adultery. It is to be as God. And now we just have a philosophical system to give some pseudo-legitimacy to this concept.
It's a scary thing, my friends, when the human being claims to be God, and then, of course, he deifies the state. That's inevitably what happens, and so that's how you get all the social programs and the all-seeing, all-predestinating state. And that's precisely what we have experienced in our own time. But again, the philosophical beginnings with transcendentalism, and at the same time you have the radical deists and rationalists moving towards transcendentalism, which is a radical form of humanism, now you also have Christianity weakening, and frontier theology began to accommodate rationalism as far as it could, and it held to an optimistic view of man's nature. See, at one time, Christians believed that man was depraved, and that all men sinned, and there was no man that sought after God. People actually believed Romans chapter 3 in the early part of the 1600s, 1700s, but by the time you get into the 1800s, you find people abandoning this idea that man is essentially evil, that man has a sinful nature, and it should not be ultimately trusted. But then by the 1800s, you begin to get an optimistic view of man, and that there is some goodness in man that does not need God's redemption. And again, this also leads to salvation by the state and a trust in the state. Think about it, Dave. I think the average person today trusts the state. They can't imagine that the state could ever do something as horrible as, oh, kill 50 million babies or slaughter 240 million people like Stalin did. They trust government ultimately and are willing to empower government ultimately because they trust in the nature of men. They're not like George Washington, who came from that early reformed view of man, who said government is like fire, and he's a dangerous servant and a cruel master. You know, it's, if you give it too much power, that fire is going to destroy. So be careful. You've got to be very, very careful with government, because government is not to be trusted, because man is not to be trusted, because man is depraved. He has a heart that is evil above all things and desperately wicked, which is what the Bible refers to as the heart of man.
And of course, that was the reason that we set up our government the way that we did, with three equal branches, each one to offset the balance of powers, basically to be able to stop the wickedness of the other. That's why we have a bicameral legislature. That's why the government was set up the way it was. It was on the understanding that man is depraved, and man, even good men in government, need to be regulated. Unfortunately, they've kind of broken the boundaries.
So the New England Transcendentalists and Unitarians became the social movers and shakers of the day, and that was the beginning of humanistic socialism in America. Emerson wrote, "What was man born for but to be a reformer, a remaker of man? We repair ourselves." So redemption comes through human efforts, through the state, through the government. Man was going to save himself. He's not going to be reliant upon a redeemer as in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see a radical difference between humanism, trusting, believing in the state to save him from all of his troubles, and Christianity, who trusts in a Messiah who would send his spirit to regenerate the sinful, depraved hearts of men and change us from the inside out, rather than changing us from the outside in. Dave, a real difference between worldviews here.
Well, absolutely, there's a difference between worldviews, and it shows itself in so many different ways. In a biblical worldview, when somebody has committed a heinous crime, a capital crime, what do? Well, you stone them, or you kill them somehow, you not to cause pain, but just to eliminate them from society. Our Supreme Court just ruled that, no, God wasn't that smart about those sort of things. We've, and I quote, "we've evolved beyond that. We've evolved beyond the wisdom of God now, because the wisdom of man is greater, and we're not going to do capital punishment for anybody except the murderer." And so you see, we replace God's law with our law, because now not only do we think we're God, we think we're smarter than God.
And here's another quote from Albert Brisbane, an important transcendentalist who was writing, Dave, well before Darwin and his Origin of Species. But listen to what he says. "Nature has implanted in man an instinct which will lead him through a series of transformations. That is, human effort is all that is necessary. We don't need God's grace here. Man is evolving, and he is able to transform his society by a series of these transformations. Man is going to save himself." And so, my friend, social reform was wedded to central government authority, and ever since then, every politician that ever runs for government will tell you how he's going to use central government power to bring about reform. And this, my friends, is bipartisan. It doesn't matter whether Republican or Democrat. Doesn't matter whether you're McCain or Obama. You're telling everybody how you're going to save the world by means of social programs. And that's the way it's run for the last 150 years. Why? Because we bought into the wrong worldview in the 1830s in the 1840s. That was the beginning of socialism in America. That was the beginning of the public schools. Remember Horace Mann and the first public schools appeared in the 1830s and 1840s. It was also the beginning of some of the first socialist attempts or communist experiments in America. The very first communist experiment in the world happened in America. Robert Owen, a communist, built a society called New Harmony, Indiana. It failed after a year because they didn't have our federal government to prop it up, as our federal government has done ever since then. But at that point, it had failed. Also, you have Brook Farm. That was another communist experiment in Massachusetts that lasted about 5 years, formed by transcendentalist Nathaniel Hawthorne, was part of that particular experiment. And, my friends, you also had the dissolution of traditional marriage with these socialist experiments. Charles Fourier was one of the very first of the communists, writing in the 1790s. He felt that traditional marriage would hurt a woman's right as a human being. And thus, he never married. He started a communist community which promoted absolute sexual freedom. That is, he didn't want anybody marrying. He was Platonic. He was Marxist. He was Rousseauian. He did not want any male to marry a female. He didn't want any child to know his parent or any parent to know his child. Charles Fourier taught that a woman is an individual and should not be seen as half of a human couple, and therefore, he also supported suffrage, which was an individuated form of voting. He wanted to get rid of household voting as well. But, you know, Dave, it's interesting. These guys wanted to individuate society and then plug everybody into the large socialist state and thereby dissolve the family unit, the unity of the two that become one. And Jesus said the two become one and they are no longer two. And it's interesting that all of these early socialist, communists, and suffragists were very, very, very strong in this idea that we need to individuate society, and a man and a woman should never consider themselves to be a unit as they vote, as they get involved in economies, et cetera, et cetera.
Because a woman needs to be free. She's an individual. And so we need to dehumanize her with dehumanizing sex. You see, that's the whole point there. We want to get rid of marriage. Okay, it's the dirty old man philosophy. That's what this is. It's the philosophy that says, go ahead and fornicate. Don't even remember her name. And don't worry about bearing children. Don't worry about raising the children. Fornicate. And by the way, we'll give her a little dignity by not letting her marry. Oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that a great way to build society?
The communists and the socialists of the 1800s set out to set us free, to set women free. And in the process, my friends, they created the greatest slave state that the world has ever known. Family economies shifted to a corporate economy and a statist big government economy. The modern age is probably best configured this way. We shifted our form of slavery, a slavery that was a form of freedom, a slavery to families, a commitment to families, a unity within families, to a slavery to corporations and big government. We turned away from a biblical law order, a biblical way of looking at social society, where families really existed and family economies were strong, and we shifted to a corporate slavery, and most people today are slaves of the corporation and slaves of big government like you would not believe, and yet most people do not believe it because they don't even know it, because, well, they've been the frogs in the slowly boiling water for 150 years. But ladies and gentlemen, God's law is liberty. And if the Son will make you free, you will be free indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast, where we bring a biblical worldview to bear, and we talk about real freedom, and we talk about returning the values of faith, family, and freedom to the 21st century, where these values, for the most part, have been dissipated in most Western nations. If you think this program is valuable, my friends, I want to encourage you to be a sponsor for this program. We have 24 sponsors to this program right now, 96 to go, and so if we want to keep this program on the air, we've got to have 120 sponsors in the next month or so. So we want to encourage you to sponsor the program with $10, $20, $30, $50 a month, whatever you can afford. And we would ask that you would call this toll-free number right now if you'd like to commit to supporting this program, where we are espousing the values of faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century. If you believe in these values and you want to support this program, please call right now this toll-free number, 877-842-2432. Again, that's 877-842-2432. And folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for faith, family, and freedom that we might recover them for the next generation or even the next generation.